dig right into the word here in a second. Lord, we just thank you again. Our hearts are touched even with what Jim shared about the Uyghurs and the rest of the people that are in the 1040 window that are suffering true persecution daily. Lord, we just lift them up and we thank you for touching them and letting them know that you truly are their Savior. You are their peace. You are their comfort in the midst of whatever storm they're going through. And Lord, we just pray for the leaders of this world that they would come into saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and that would affect their actions and their decisions. Even in this nation and the nation north and south of us, Lord, we pray that you would have reign, free reign, over the nations. Lord, we just thank you right now as we open up your word. It's always anointed. We thank you, Holy Spirit. You give everyone ears to hear what the Spirit is saying through the written word, the revealed will of Jesus Christ to us this morning. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and turn on over to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And we're going to dig into this subject of singleness here in a moment. We just want to talk about relationships in general, first and foremost. Number one, God desires that all people be primarily focused on their relationship with who? Him. Him. Everyone be focused on the relationship with Him, whether you call yourself a single, whether you're called to singleness, or whether you're in a season of singleness, our connection with God should always be our highest priority. Either way, we have to be careful what we allow into our hearts. Amen? Because what we allow into our hearts can derail us and cause us to just walk away from what God has for us. God wants us to love Him above all else. And I just want to stop for a second here, and I'm going to share this here with you before. It's something I learned at Bible college, which was very profound to me at the time and really ministered to me. And based on the Bible, one of the ministers was saying there that God's relationships go in this order. I might have shared it here before. Number one, your personal intimate relationship with God. Everybody say, my relationship with God. That should be first and foremost in your life, in every decision that you make, in everything that you do, every action you take, every word that you speak. Come on, your relationship with Almighty God. Secondly, if God has given you the gift of being married and you are married, there's blessings that come with marriage. Your spouse should be number two. Okay, so everybody, God first, spouse second, and who do you think follows third? Children. Your children should then be in third place. Everybody understand where I'm going with this? Your fourth place, according to biblical pattern that I see through the scriptures, is your relationship to the body of Christ. All right, again, God first, spouse second, if you've been blessed to have a spouse, and children third. And fourthly, your relationship to the body of Christ. Fifthly is your job. Okay? And if you're called to ministry and it's not supporting you as a job, then ministry is sixth. Oh, and I shook up some of you in this religious attitude here for a moment. Because many people think that ministry is their relationship with God. And anytime you get these five out of order, you mess up your relationships in your life. All you have to do is look around and see some of your relatives, hopefully not you, but looking around and seeing some of your friends, and you'll see that when they begin to lift the spouse up above God, what happens? Everything else falls apart. And in an unhappy marriage, many times the wife lifts up the kids above the husband. And so what happens? Everything falls apart. And people say, well, you know, we don't need to bother to go to church anymore. We are the church. We'll just stay at home and we'll watch YouTube. And how many of you know that that's a lie anyway? They just want an excuse to stay in pajamas and eat, you know, breakfast in bed or whatever. They're not going to go to church, most people, right? And when that's messed up, what happens is people then begin to lift their job above any of the others. And I've seen so many ministers, and I've been preaching, this is what, my 42nd year of preaching. Must have started when I was five, right? My 42nd year of preaching, and I can tell you, I have watched this time and time and time again, where the man or woman of God thinks that their ministry is their relationship with God, which is supposed to be your job down here or ministry. And they exalt it up to number one, and it causes the rest of them to fall. Your identity isn't in what you do, it's in who you are and whom you are in Christ Jesus, who you are. Okay, so your identity is in Christ. Your identity is not in what you do as a job, as an occupation. Let's clear down here number five. Everybody understand? But if you get around a group of people and you haven't met anybody before, what do women usually do? The first thing they start talking to other women is, how many kids do you have? Let me pull out the pictures and start showing it, right? What do men usually do when they first get together and they don't know each other? What do you do for a living? What do you do for a living? Because see what we're doing, we're establishing pecking order. Right? Oh, well, you're an engineer. Well, I'm only this, so that puts me down here. Or, you know, come on. Those are things you do. Number five. Number one is your intimate personal relationship with Almighty God. Number two, if you've been blessed to have a spouse, is your spouse, and they should be second place in your heart. Thirdly, your children. Come on. Am I preaching false doctrine here? You just don't like it. Okay. Thirdly, your children. Fourthly, the body you need to be committed into. Fifthly, your job. And you do need to have a job. Come on. He that doesn't work doesn't eat. All right? And you need to provide for your family. And then if you have a call to ministry and it hasn't moved up to number five, then it's still number six. All right. Well, the pastors can fix that later because you didn't seem to like it. Seemed like it was brand new for you. But God wants us to love Him first and foremost. That is our chief aim and call in this life. Now, whether you're married or whether you're single, your first call is to... Did you notice that? If I take these five that I've put up here and I don't have a spouse or children, then it's God, the body, then my job. See? Personal relationship to God, with God. Then the body. See, this is the problem a lot of ministers make, is they only study a sermon message for the people. They don't spend time in prayer for themselves. They don't spend time in prayer for their spouse, their families. They don't spend time... Everything is just to get a message for the people. And they'll burn themselves out very quickly. Any kind of ministry that you're doing is a privilege, not a right. Come on, let me say it again. Any ministry that you do in the kingdom of God, for God, the body of Christ, is a privilege, not a right. It's not a right just because you can sing really good. It's not a right just because you can play really good. It's not a right because you can draw really good. Come on, or you can preach really good. It's a privilege to do any ministry for God. And we've lost track of that. I've run into 20-somethings at times in the past who say, well, no, I can't play in that church because they can't pay me enough money. I can go over to this church across town. They'll pay me $60,000. You're 22. What have you ever done with your life? You barely graduated college. What makes you think you're worth that kind of money? See, the heart is wrong. The heart is, I need to be paid for my ministry. Okay, anyway. That's not even in the title, is it? But we're talking about your heart motivation, because if you have those five out of order, your life will be messed up. You have to have your relationships first and foremost with God Almighty. So we've started today this brand new series on relationship. And, you know, when I talk about relationship, or we talk about that here in this context, so many people have different emotional responses to it. Relationships, right? But how many of you know that we live in relationships? Do you know the minute you were born, you went in a relationship? You were in a relationship in your mother's womb before you were born. Then you were born and you were brought into community. Right? Why do we think that that stops? All of us, whether we're single or whether we're married, still belong to community. We still belong to the body. We still have relationships all around about us. But when we talk singleness, all people focus on singleness is, I can't be married and have sex. That's the big thing. How was that for a shocker to wake you up? You said the S word. You talk to most teenagers, why do they want to be married? Because they want a life partner to walk through with the hard times and the good times. No, they don't. Come on. Most women, okay, I'm going to be touching in trouble here. Most women in the past, when I counseled, they wanted to get married at a young age because they wanted a sense of security. And the guy was just horny. He wanted a steady sex partner. Come on, if you're honest, under the age of 25, that's usually... I'm not telling you to think about your own relationships. But I'm just telling you the truth. This is, people get married for the wrong reasons. People get married to escape the bad life that they've grown up in that far. So thus far, and they think, if I could just find the other half of the cookie, we'll be a whole cookie together. Because when two halves come together, we're one whole cookie. No! Because you're looking to that other person to fulfill the 50% you're still missing. And if you've been married more than, you know, a day or a week, you've probably come to the conclusion to understand, or you've been in relationships, you understand that it's not 50-50. It's not 49-51. It's 100 and 100. Otherwise, you're in a world of trouble. If you're looking for a person to fulfill you, marriage is not going to be the answer. You have to be secure and fulfilled in Jesus Christ first. And see, that's the miracle. When two complete people, 100% me and Jesus, 100% Jesus and her, and we come together, that's the miracle. The two become one. And actually, we're 300%. Come on, we got The Father, Son, the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. Anyway, so I'm jumping all over the place, but I'm just talking about general principles here as we get into talking about relationships. Relationships are unavoidable. No matter where you find yourself in your life today, whether you're single, you want to stay single, whether you were in a relationship and you're no longer married, maybe you're widowed or widower, whatever the situation is, whatever you find yourself in right now, the call of God is still God first. Come on. Then the relationships with your close nuclear family, then the body of Christ, then your job. Those never change. They never change. God created us for relationship. Come on. We need to be in relationship one with another. And relationship doesn't mean always have to. Everybody always goes to the romantic aspect for relationship. You know, you have a relationship with people all day long. Most of you spend more time with the people you work with than you do with your spouse. Come on. Or than you do with your kids, because your kids are off at school, you're off at work. But you're still in a strong relationship with your family, aren't you? It's not always about proximity, and it's not romantic. We have the world paints this. You know, I'm so fed up with church in the Western world on many fronts, but on this one in particular. They make a single person feel subclass, substandard. Because most churches, it's all about the family, which is great. That's the Bible. And it's all about married couples, and that's great. And if they have a singles group, it's so that you can pair up so you can get married, so you can join the marriage groups. Come on. There were churches in my past. I'd walk into there, and you could immediately see fresh meat. Now, if you're going to find another spouse, or you're going to find your spouse, a church is a good place to do it because hopefully you have similar values and belief systems, right? That's better than picking them up at the bar. Okay? But that's not the motivation for getting together. I mean, when I pastored, I planted a church at 23. I was single. And the joke was that once I got married, that I would lose 2/3 of the congregation. All the single women. All those single women that were having visions, you know, wish vision, that I was the man of God for them. And what it was is I was trying to model Jesus in my life, and I had to tell several of the sisters, I love you in Jesus, but when you saw Jesus looking through my eyes at you, it wasn't saying, let's get married. Whatever good you and godly you saw in me is what you should be looking for in another if it's godly. And so that was the big joke that, you know, when I got married, I'd lose 2/3 of the congregation, all those women with their visions. You know what? My secret was to get them all married off first, and I didn't lose any of them. In fact, I gained their husbands coming into the church. But a lot of churches are only geared towards marrieds. And if you're single, it's like, oh, so sad. So sorry for you. Now, you know, the guy who made the quote, marriage is the closest thing to heaven on earth. Everybody ever hear that? But the second part of that quote is, and marriage is the closest thing to hell on earth.
That's right.
Marriage is no guarantee of happiness.
That's right.
As any of you who've ever been married or been in a relationship understand and know. You cannot find happiness in a person other than Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate happiness. And the joy when both of you know Jesus Christ, then a 3-strand cord is not easily broken. Okay, anyway. Singleness. Let's talk about that. Let me just say one more thing about emotional responses and stuff. And relationships. I have seen through the years that if you're a high-maintenance person in the natural, everybody know what I mean by high-maintenance?
Yeah.
Okay. In the natural, you are probably a high-maintenance person in the spiritual. You're running from miracle to miracle to miracle. God has to do something supernatural for you every day, or you don't think he loves you. In the same way that if he doesn't call you every hour, you think you're not loved. We need to get healed of those false expectations. That's not from God. Because he said, even this morning, as we're singing it out, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Lo, I'm with you until the end. I'm with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you, but the peace I give you passes all natural human understanding. Come on. We can have this relationship with the Lord. I thought, you know what? I read here in 1 Corinthians 7 that if I'm single, Paul said that's not a bad thing. In fact, he says, because I'm single, I don't have the encumbrances that come along with marriage. Come on, big mortgage on the house, two car payments. Come on, putting kids through school. All that type of stuff. I don't have any of that. I can focus totally on the Lord. So at 19, I said, I'm going to focus totally on the Lord, and I'm not going to get married till he tells me I have to, and the ministry can go no further until I get married. Right? And then I joined the STR club. Anyone ever heard that one? Single till rapture?
Oh, single.
No, I never heard that one. Joined the single till rapture club. And then I planted a church at 23 after Bible college, and guess what? I got busy for the next decade. I did not have time to be distracted with dating and situations. And so life just kept going on, and I was, you know, I didn't know that I was missing out on anything, even though I was marrying off all my friends. They were all getting married off. And it's a blessing. Now, if you've been married or you want to be married, that's a blessing. That is a gift from God. I'm not saying don't desire that. But what I'm trying to get us to see is there's nothing wrong with being single. Whether you want to be single or you just happen to be single right now, there's nothing wrong with being single. In fact, you can use your singleness to further the kingdom of God and be closer to God. Not that you can't be close to God when you're married, but I'll tell you what, there are some marriages in history that probably shouldn't have happened. If you've ever read the life of John Wesley, who just covered all of the United States back and forth, thousands, thousands of miles on horseback, and is the founder of the Wesleyan church movement, and you go and you read about his life, man, his relationship with his wife was horrendous. Why do you think he traveled so much in the United States when she was in England? They just had an awful marriage relationship to the point where she eventually left him. The founder of the Wesleyan church. George Whitefield, the great revivalist here in the Americas, he was gone so much time of the year that his wife was left alone all the time and was lonely. See, some people, maybe they could do more for God if they weren't married. But if you're married, that's not an excuse to slack off and say, well, I'm just fat, happy and sassy right here, you know, being married, and I don't have any more obligations to serve God. No, you figure out a different way to serve God with your time, right? And the singles, it really annoys me. I've been watching some of the 30 and under people who are still singles that are like teenagers in their late 20s. Still playing the video games all night long. Still, you know, using their singleness not to the glory of God, but in selfish ways. Now, if you ever got married or you ever had a child, how many of you know that selfishness had to go pretty quick? If you want to have a happy home, selfishness has to go. You have to spend time. With that child screaming at 3 in the morning, you can't say, I just feel like getting another 4 hours of sleep. I'm just going to ignore that baby. Come on, right? You can't do that. You learn to die to self because you have responsibility. And if you're single, you also have responsibility. You have a great opportunity to serve God with all of your life. Now, the Lord went and blessed me and gave me a son when I was 32 years old. I was able to adopt, and he's blessed me, and I now have 4 grandchildren. Come on. So the Lord, remember he says, he will give you 100-fold in this life, those things that you've given up. I gave up being married. I gave up, you know, having children. My 6 children that I want, you know, the 19-year-old horniness was talking, I want at least 6 children, at least. Right? No, my mother came from a large family, and I thought it was great when you'd have 37 grandchildren together playing in the backyard. Come on, it was fun. So I always thought that was a great thing. Man, nothing compared to you guys, you know, with your families. But see, the Lord still blessed me. I wasn't left out. And even before that, I was mentoring, discipling, big brothering other people's children who didn't have time for them. Just because you're single doesn't mean you miss out on life. And if you were to read through all of 1 Corinthians 7, which we don't have time to do this morning, but if you were to read through all of 1 Corinthians 7, you'd come to the conclusion and understand that basically Paul is saying this. Whatever condition you find yourself in at the moment, serve God. If you're married, serve God. If you're single, serve God. If you're widowed, serve God. If you want to be married again, fine, serve God. In whatever condition, if you follow the Jewish customs, serve God. If you were a Gentile, serve God. Everybody get the point? He's saying here, whatever condition you're in, serve God. And then Paul, in this chapter, explains to us why he thinks it's better to be single like he is. Think of all the times Paul was beaten, he was left for dead, he was shipwrecked. Now imagine him dragging along a wife and children in the middle of that. Paul was saying, because of the day and the hour that we're living in, there at Corinth at that time in the persecution, he's suggesting, you can do more for God if you're single, and B, you will not be distracted because your first responsibility when you're married is to your family. After your personal relationship with God, your responsibility is to your family. Everybody understand? And so you can be distracted slightly. Doesn't mean you can't be used of God. Many, 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 many powerful married people of God have been used. And how much greater is it when you get the spouse, the husband and the wife, and they both love Jesus and they've come together and they both have a vision to serve God? Come on, it's beautiful. Because one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000 to flight. I'm trying to think here what I want to say here about that. Being single, according to Paul here, is just to serve God without some of the distractions of life. All right, have we read the Bible yet? We probably ought to. 1 Corinthians 7. And now, verse 1, he says, "Now concerning the things about which you wrote, it's good for a man not to touch a woman." And what he's saying here is, if you are not married, and he's saying not to have sexual relationships with a woman. That's what he's saying. It's good for a man not to do that. But then he goes on and he talks about married relationships. And husbands and wives serve each other, right? And then he goes on down and he starts to talk about the unmarried people. And he says, "I give instructions, not the Lord, but under inspiration of the Lord." And he talks about in verse 10. And then he comes on down. He's talking about marriage. And he's talking about remarriage. He's talking about being widowed. And then he comes on down a little bit further. And now he's going to talk in verse 32. Let's go ahead and pick that up. "But I want you to be free from concern." So verse 1 tells us that evidently the Corinthians had written questions to Paul. Paul is now answering them back. So as you're reading through 1 Corinthians 7, and I hope you'll take the time to read 6, 7, and 8, but at least chapter 7, because that's where I'm relationship series right now. But take the time to read through there. Think of this as, anybody like the TV show Jeopardy? And the answer is, right? And so what's happening is, the answer is, and now you have to figure out the question. Paul is answering the questions that they'd sent in to him. Because some people thought, hey, if I can serve God better as a single, then I should divorce my wife so I can serve God better as a single. Some people evidently thought, hey, we're both strong Christians, and we could serve God better if we don't have conjugal relations because we can dedicate all that time to serving God. And Paul said, don't do that. Then you're opening up a door for the enemy to come on in and tempt you. Do you understand? So Paul's addressing some of the questions that had come to him. Some people were saying, well, hey, it's okay for me. She's more spiritual than the one I'm married to, so I can divorce her and marry this one. And Paul's saying, no! In whatever state, condition you're in, serve God. If you are in slavery, if you're in servitude, serve God. Now, if you get the opportunity to be freed, to buy your own freedom, then that's great too. But in whatever condition, if you're married, don't seek to be unmarried. And if you're married to an unbeliever, but it's peaceable in the home and they are not trying to cause you to walk away from God, then dwell with them because who knows, maybe your testimony will win them over to Jesus. Amen? So if you're married, don't seek to be single. If you're single, don't seek to be married. Oh no, wow, that we just went against the church doctrine. It's not good for man to be alone. No, that was back in Genesis chapter 2, when there was only a man on the planet. It's not good. You can only talk to animals so long. And even if they can talk back, come on. And he said, it's not good for man to be alone. And so he made woman from man, which kind of shows you, anyway, he was complete before he separated Eve out so that they could talk to each other. But anyway. Notice that when the Lord made Eve, he took her from where? Adam's arch, so he could lord it over her and stand on her? From the top of his head, so she could lord it over him? From the rib, the side, so she could walk alongside equally with him. Anyway, none of that's in the notes, but it's all good. The Bible talks about singleness as a positive. But he's saying, whatever state, whatever condition you're in, serve the Lord. Are you getting that point? Serve the Lord. You are not a second-class Christian if you're single. And hopefully you're not just looking to be fulfilled in another person besides Jesus, because you'll be let down. I could ask for testimony hand show right now, but that's the reality. Closest thing to heaven on earth, closest thing to hell on earth. Relationships are not the answer without Jesus in the center. Okay, so point number one here, just talking about this. He says, verse 32, I want you to be free from concern. One who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord and how he may please the Lord. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. And he doesn't say that's wrong. Do you hear me? Come on. He that doesn't provide for his family is worse than an unbeliever, according to the scriptures. St. Paul wrote that. See, so it's important to take care of your family. It's important to take care of your spouse. It's important. Come on. He's not saying that that's wrong. He's just saying let each man according to the gift given to him. If you have the gift of marriage, be married, be fruitful, multiply, serve God in that married state with your whole heart. If you're single, serve God with your whole heart and don't be sitting there waiting on the horizon. One of these days, if I could just get married, then I'll finally achieve the will of God in my life and I'll finally be able to serve him. Because some of the marrieds are going, one of these days, if she'd just kick off, then I could finally serve God. Wrong motivations. Wrong, yes. The wife should have said very wrong motivation. Hit their husband. Very wrong motivation. You serve God in whatever situation that you're in and circumstance that you're in. The slaves were saying, if I could only be free, then I could serve God more. And he's saying, in your slavery, in your servitude, serve God first. Come on, those who were Jewish converts, stay a Jewish convert, but serve God as a Christian. Gentiles, don't seek to be a Jew. Don't try to take up all the Jewish customs. Come on, serve God. Everybody got that point? Serve God. Focus on pleasing God. And he's saying here that your interests are divided. Verse 34, his interests are divided. The woman who is unmarried and the virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. He doesn't say that's wrong. Do you understand? He's just saying this is the way it is. If you're married and you have children, you are having divided. Come on, back to Wesley. You think about his mother. I don't know, would they have 11 children or something? I don't know. But the deal was, she was so, think about 11 kids running around the house all the time, right? The household taking care of that whole type of thing. She was so busy with running the household that her times of prayer where she would actually take her apron and throw it up over her head while she's doing the dishes, and that was her prayer time, to block out 11 kids and a husband. In the midst of that, she had all these distractions. She still found a way to commune with God. Because it's about heart motivation. You don't look, if you're married and you've been blessed to have children, don't you dare look at them as a negative distraction. The best, those of you who are fathers and mothers, the closest you've ever come to being like God was in the creation of that child. And some of you felt that when you held that baby for the first time. And you realized that the love and the dependence of that child on me and the love that you have for them right at that moment, it pales in comparison to what the love the Father has for us. But that's the closest we could actually experience it and understand it. And it's a blessing. You say, Lord, how blessed is the man whose house is full, his quiver is full of arrows. He's got all these kids. Not because they're going to take care of him when he's old, but they should. But because of the fact that they're a blessing. Because you're raising them up in the Lord. A friend of mine has adopted two children, had two natural children of his own. And when he adopted the one from Taiwan years ago, I remember talking to him and I said, you know, why, you already have three kids. Why did you do this? And he said, because in that country, even though it's not communist, it's Taiwan, it's free China, it's unbelievers, very many unbelievers. And by bringing that child into my household, that child now has an opportunity to come to know the living God. Look outside of yourself. Singles, you can be fulfilled. You can be a big brother. You can be a big sister. Come on, be the best aunt, be the best uncle. You don't have to be married. You don't have to procreate yourself. The earth has been populated. Come on, that's not your job anymore. And the reason, now understand, you know, think about this. This is pretty radical. Jesus himself is single. How old is he when he starts ministering? 30. Do you know in Jewish culture and some of the writings, it was a sin for a Jewish male not to be married at 20. It was a sin. He could actually lose his salvation by not being married. Why? Because the number one call of the Jewish male was to procreate, to build the kingdom of the Israelis. To build God's chosen people. So imagine Jesus is going up against the stream. He's 30 years old, he's single. John the Baptist, 30 years old, he's single. Paul is single. We don't know whether, now Paul being a Pharisee's Pharisee, right? He would have, according to law, he would have already been married at least at 20, or by 30 he had to be a Pharisee. And so we don't know what happened. Maybe he was a widower. Maybe his wife died shortly after he became a Christian. Or maybe she divorced him because she didn't want to become a Christian herself. We don't know. But Paul says in those situations, you're not under bondage. Come on. The Bible is replete with all kinds of single people. Anna, the prophetess, was a widow for like 80 years. And it says she was in the temple serving God day and night. And guess what? God blessed her to be one of the two to have prophetic insight and see who Jesus was as a baby. See, there's a call, there's a destiny, there's a purpose. Whether you're single, you find yourself single right now, or whether you find yourself temporarily single, whatever the situation is, or whether you're married, God has called you to serve him. So first point we should focus on in our life is that God has called us to please him. We can do the things of the Lord. Come on, whether you're married or whether you're single. We are created for relationship. We're created for connection. We're created to love and be loved. We were created first and foremost to love God and be loved by him. Anybody grow up Lutheran or grow up where you had the Westminster Catechism? Anybody know what that's talking about? You've probably heard about it before. You've probably heard this quote anyway. In the short Westminster Catechism says, Westminster's a place in England, the Anglican Church. The chief end or goal of man or woman is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. The number one goal is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. So during a season of singleness or a lifetime of singleness, we are able, unlike any other time in our lives, to be singularly focused on glorifying God and enjoying him forever. What's our focus in our life? If you're single right now, what is your focus? Is it just so you enjoy being single because you just play video games all night long? You know, with nobody jumping your case about it? Are you enjoying single? Are you being a player? Well, the scripture specifically says that's not a reason to stay single. You know, you're not supposed to stay single so you can play the field. Come on, the Bible is real specific about that, okay? Use your singleness for God. Use your singleness for God. Look down at verse 35. This I say for your own benefit, not to put a restraint upon you. Actually, that word there is like a yoke, or to put a leash around you to pull you back. He says, I'm not saying this to put a restraint on you, but to promote what is appropriate and to secure undistracted devotion to the Lord. He's saying, undistracted devotion to the Lord, an undivided life. When someone is single or single again, whether for a season or for a lifetime, they can live in undistracted devotion to the Lord. Amen. Come on now, don't want a show of hands. But some of you parents just did a little dance, a little jig in your house when all your kids went off to college or got married and moved out of the house. Because you're like, wow, it's just us again. Wow, let's pick up where we left off after the first kid was born. Come on. Hopefully, you took advantage. But see, now all of a sudden, you have more time. Less pulling on you for your time and your emotion. And you can spend more time for God and with God. All right. Each of us only has so much time and energy to give in our life. What are we doing with it? If you're single, it could all go towards God, right? You could choose to give it all towards God. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart. Come on. Above all else, guard your heart, for out of it flow the life streams. Come on now. Guard your heart above all else. The center of your being, where all of our actions, our thoughts, and our life flows out. He says, be on guard. Now, there's three things that we need to, right there, we'll read it to you. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Keep your heart. Who's doing the keeping? We have to choose to do the keeping.
That's right.
Right? We have to choose to do the keeping of our heart. We need to, several things stick out about that to think about. You need to guard your heart, whether you're married or whether you're single, you need to guard your heart against selfishness. Come on. Now, I told you my personality type a little bit. I'm one of those people where if I'm around too many people for too long, all of a sudden I start going into solitude withdrawal. I got to get away. I can't even think right now. Love my grandkids, but with four of them and two big dogs and now a little dog and a cat and the volume there at the house is a constant here. And I'm used to it. Here. It becomes after a while, it's like, I gotta go sit in my truck. I gotta get something. But that's my personality. Now, some of you are the opposite. You gotta have noise all the time or you're feeling lonely. But here's the truth. You're never alone. You're never alone. Whether you have a spouse or not, you're never alone. Because you have the spouse. You have God. Okay, anyway. Guard against selfishness. So I could easily just say, I'm just going to go be by myself. Well, yeah, but are you doing anything productive for God? Are you praying? Are you reading your Bible? Are you witnessing? Are you doing works of service for others to help others and thereby show God's love through you to somebody else? Or are you just using that time to learn a new sport? Go buy another game. See, there's selfishness. Guard yourself against lust. Those of you that got married, and if you got, I remember talking to young guys specifically, I got to get married, I'm burning. Well, you know what? That burning doesn't cease just because you get a marriage partner. If you had a problem with lust before you got married and you never dealt with it, getting married isn't going to answer that problem. Now you're married with a problem of lust. Okay. Don't like that either, do you? But you got to guard your heart. If you're single, you need to guard your heart against lust. You need to guard yourself against fornication, adultery, pornography. You need to guard yourself against these things. You have to know that they're out there to entice you, to pull you away from serving God and serving others. Thirdly, you need to guard yourself against bitterness. Some people are so bitter. Oh, I should have never got married. And they're bitter in their heart and they miss. You know, I have this little saying written on a card somewhere at home. I used to have it on my wall. Life, it's what's happening while you're planning for life.
That's good.
Life, it's what's happening while you're planning for life. If I could just do thus and thus out here, meanwhile, life is just passing you by. Focus on now. What can you do for God now? Guard against bitterness. Talking primarily to singles right now for a moment. Singles may look at for people to blame for their single state. And be bitter towards them. They might be bitter towards God. God, why haven't you brought me a marriage partner? Anybody ever try to? No, I don't want to ask that question. Help God out. How'd that work out for you? Not the best. God wants our focus to be on Him. Let me give you a couple more points here. So firstly, today, focus on pleasing God. No matter what situation you're in, single, temporarily single, married, widowed. Focus on pleasing God. Live an undivided life. If you're single or single again, you know, relationship statuses change. Life can be divided in different ways. Single and married both have benefits, but they also both have responsibilities. If you were single for a long time, then you got married. I have a cousin who didn't get married until 30-something, whatever. You know, she was single for a long time. You know what she did? She served God in her singleness. And you know when she found her spouse? When she stopped looking for one.
That's right. That's what happened.
Anyway. Focus on the Lord. Be on guard against selfishness, lust, bitterness. Don't be bitter, be better. Come on, focus on the Lord. Let me give you some single truths as I close on this right now. Single truths for single Christians. Let me just shake us up for a moment here right now. Number one, you may never get married. What do you want your life to be like if you never get married or if you never get married again? What do you want your life to be like? Sorry to burst your bubble. But see, life is still going on. And if you're waiting for somebody else to fulfill you, to complete you, what was that? Was that Jerry Maguire? You complete me, or whatever that stupid phrase was from the movie. That's sad, because if she completes me, she can also destroy me. You may never get married. God has not promised anybody marriage. And this is one of the things that bothered me in church. Now, this was really good as a Baptist kid. God has the perfect woman for you. No point in even dating around. No point in getting caught up in sins of the flesh. God has the perfect one. And at the perfect time, He'll bring the perfect one to you, and you'll have a perfect marriage, a perfect children, a perfect... Come on. Now, I understood. Later on, I understood. They were doing that so we wouldn't go around and get in sin. Pairing up and dating. And, come on, our Western culture encourages pairing up. Dating. It shocks me sometimes to talk to people and they go, well, we're just dating. But they've been shacked up for 3 years together. Now, dating to me was you dressed up nice and you went to a restaurant and a movie and you might have got a kiss on the doorstep and dropped them off. Dating was not you lived with them for 3 and 4 years. And called that dating and had 5 children with them. Come on, that's not dating. That's cohabitating. That's playing married when you ain't. And we don't believe in polygamy in our society, right? Having multiple wives. But we do have chronic polygamists. Well, you know, she got old, so I turned her in for a newer model. And they're married and they're in the 3rd and 4th wife. Or relationship. I thought we came to church to be encouraged. Yes, I'm encouraging us. Amen. Don't do those stupid things. That's your encouragement. God hasn't promised that you would be married. God hasn't said that you have to be married in order to be complete. God promises to meet our needs. Let this truth sink into our hearts. Secondly, understand that you are fiercely loved by God. If God loves me, why hasn't He given me my spouse? You know the irony about that story I was telling you about as a Baptist kid? You know, the perfect one, whatever. I remember when it hit me like at 15 or 16. But what if she's screwing around? So I have to stay single till she comes to her senses? And then comes to me? Come on. There's only one perfect one on the planet for you. Anybody grow up with that, hearing that? The one perfect one? Yes, but His name is Jesus. It's not anybody down here. Okay, a couple other things. You can be content. You can be content. And not just enduring, but content and enjoying it. Enjoying life. Contentment doesn't eliminate your desires, but you can be content in your singleness, or you can be content in your married. Come on. A couple more things. You have no reason to be ashamed if you're single. You have no reason to feel substandard in the church. Like I said, go back through history. So many of the people who headed up missions organizations and movements were single. Why? Because they could do more for God without the requirements that come with marriage. Marriage isn't worse or better than singleness. It's just different. Amen?
Amen.
And lastly, you can change the way you feel about being single by changing the way you think about being single. You can change the way you feel about being single by changing the way you think about being single. Marriage does not solve all problems. If you ever talk to anybody who's married, been married a length of time, and relationships go through all sorts of roller coaster rides, that loneliness, some of the most lonely people I've ever known in my life are married. Sexual temptation, you didn't deal with lust before you got married, guess what? You're going to have to deal with it after you're married. The deepest emotional needs that can only be fulfilled in Christ, you're trying to get it from another person. Marriage doesn't solve that. And marriage doesn't solve life's difficulties. It's your commitment to each other and to Christ that helps you get through those life's difficulties. So who wants to sign up for being single? Get your eyes on God in whatever state or condition you're in at this moment and how you can do something for Him now. Not if I could only be free, like the slave said, or if I could only be married, or if I could only be free from this wife. Serve God in whatever condition you're in right now. Do you know that almost 50% of the Roman Empire were slaves at one point? And he's telling them in Corinth and Rome and all these places, serve God, even in the bondage that you find yourself in. Serve God when you're free, serve God when you're bound. And whatever condition I find myself in, Paul says, I'm going to serve God. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for those who in this room may be single or find themselves single at this time through whatever circumstance, through widowhood or divorce or whatever the situation may be. Lord, or those who have been chosen to be single, who have chosen to be single and to serve you all the days of their life that way. Lord, I just pray right now for your grace and your peace that we would count it, those of us that are single, as a privilege. Lord, that we would look to it as a privilege, that we can do more for you if we choose to use our time wisely. We can do more things for the kingdom of God. We can be a help to all those round about us. Lord, that help us to take our eyes off from ourselves and to put them on to you and to see all the needs that are all around us that you've called us to reach out and help meet. So, Lord, I pray right now that you give comfort to the comfortless. Lord, you put the isolated and the lonely, you put them in families according to Psalms. So, Lord, we thank you that we're part of this family of God, but we're also part of the greater family of God. And, Lord, you put godly relationships round about us. I just pray right now that you would break off any relationships that are ungodly in singles' lives or married lives right now. Lord, that the warning light would just begin to flash anytime they see that person, that situation, that you would break that off from them in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that you give us the grace to understand that we can be used of you. We're not waiting for something to happen relationally before we can be used of you today. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. That's good preaching, Pastor Dave.
All right. Medlin, anyway. Medlin.
Right.